Thank you, Lord. This is the first Sunday of 2019, 1-6-19, Sunday morning. This is going to be the year of witty inventions and naughty problems solved. Excited about this year. I believe we're going to see a lot of things. I'm thankful for the Lord today. I'm thankful that He found us and He's showing us a better way. The title of today's message is going to be Redeemed, Already Done. Not convinced? Redeemed. Jesus redeemed us. Okay, Satan controls the world system by a false narrative. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they can't see the truth. They can't come to the knowledge of the truth." It's an antichrist system that we live in. God's word is His narrative for man. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. Even if it's about flat earth. Every word. The truth of the creation. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, let's look at the curse of the law, and we'll turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I turned on the Fox to get ready to watch the television broadcast this morning. There was shark commercials on, and I was going, oh my gosh, you know. But anyway, program came on just on time. I said, "Angels, I sent you to take care of this." All right, Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says in verse 1, If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your beast, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to Himself, as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. And all people on the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. You know, in the disciples' day, it said the people, they saw that they were the ones that had been with Jesus, and they looked at them with highly esteem. They were above the rest of the people. They didn't act like the other people. They recognized they had something special, something different. See, that's what's going to make a difference, is when they see that we've got something special, something extra, they'll be drawn to us. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. If you notice, if you read through the Bible, which I do every year, you will notice all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's all about taking your land. God's given you this land. God's given you these promises. God has already said yes. God told them, take the land. I've already given it to you. This runs all the way through the Bible. That we're to rule. New Testament, reign in life as kings. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you should be above only, and it shall not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them, And you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Will God put curses on people for not doing the right thing? No. What was the blessings about? God's supernatural grace upon them whose he's in covenant with, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament. But when they decide, it says, to turn and go after other gods, other ways of doing things. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, of your land, of your increase, of your cattle, and the young of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall send you curses, confusion, rebuke. It shouldn't be sin there. It should be allows. Rebuke in every enterprise to which you set your hand until you are destroyed, perishing quickly because of the evil of your doings by which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you, or allow it, because you allow it, to cling to you until he has consumed you with the land into which you shall go to possess. You have to understand, in the old covenant, it isn't a permissive sense, not a causative sense. God doesn't cause evil. He doesn't tempt men with evil. He doesn't do evil things. But what he gives men a choice, blessing or curse. He told them two mountain ranges, okay? Blessing on one side, curses on the other. Choose what you're going to do. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land into which you go to possess. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever and inflammation, fiery heat, sword and drought, blasting and mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. The heavens over your head shall be brass, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of your land powdered soil and dust. From the heavens it shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. And the Lord shall cause you to be struck down before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You shall be tossed to and fro and be a terror among all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and the tumors, the scurvy, the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and dismay of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her, and you shall build a house, but not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but not gather its grapes. Y'all know people like this? Just seems like nothing ever seems to go right for them. They're always the tail and not the head. It's still at work in the earth today. We've been redeemed through salvation from the curse of the law, but there's people under the curse. There are believers under the curse. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away before your face and not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies. You shall not have no one to help you. Your sons and daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day, and there shall be no power in your hands to prevent it. A nation which you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your labor, your land and of your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you shall be driven mad by the sights which your eyes shall see. And the Lord will smite you on the knees and on the legs with a sore boil that cannot be healed. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, the Lord will bring you and your king, whom you have set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone. So we see here that Israel, they had a pattern of idolatry, and so, you know, they went into exile in Babylon for like 70 years, I think it is. The last time they were off their land, they were off their land for 1,800 years. Why idolatry? They chose the things of the world and what was around them instead of the Lord. And this curse is still at work in the earth. But through Christ Jesus, it says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Okay. We'll just look at that. This is Galatians 3. says Christ purchased our freedom from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. To the end that through Christ Jesus, the blessing to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles so that we through faith might receive the promise of the Spirit. So God has always been a faith God from Genesis 1. His character is revealed and how he does things has been revealed. And he's been the same throughout the Old Testament also, if you can just have those kind of eyes to see that. The reason the law came into place is because he couldn't get the Israelites to walk by faith. This is what they wanted. Give us something to do and we'll do it. Let it be based on our merit. We're used to that. For we worked for Pharaoh. He told us what to do, when to go to bed and when to get up. And so the Lord laid the law on them that was impossible to be fulfilled, hoping they'd turn to Jesus when he came. Most of them didn't. Most of them to this day have not. But nonetheless, we've been redeemed. Whether a parent or not, whether it's operating in your life or not, it says we've been redeemed. Okay. A narrative is a representation of a story like in a movie. That's what a narrative is. Satan's narrative is, you know what his, to kill, steal, and destroy. God's, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He redeemed us from all this yucky stuff that we just read. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack. Okay. Satan's narrative, it's all a sham, just a big flim-flam. Lord spoke to us this way a few weeks ago with those words. Deception or fraud, that's what a flim-flam is. He is the God of this world and he cannot tell the truth. Jesus called him, in John 8:44, the father of lies. Said there's no truth in him. So we shouldn't be surprised when things come to us, especially words that bring fear. Realize it's a liar. Okay. Satan makes up stuff and tries to get you to believe it. He knows it's the only way to get to you. Just think about it. I was thinking about creation and how God made things and how the devil has twisted it. God is a God of order. God has set everything in motion. It was all precise. Not a tiny anything off. Just perfect. God's perfect. His ways are perfect. The way he does things are perfect. And here comes the devil. Oh, it's just bang. It's just a big old bang out there. Just a big old chaotic mess. And that's the way he is. Just a big old chaotic mess. Okay. He just makes up stuff. The sun is 45 billion miles away. Is that why I see it in these clouds right over the top of my head? Just think about how silly some of the things that he has said and he's made up. And you think about it and think, no way. The most outlandish. And it's stuff no one could ever prove. How would you ever prove it? If you watch television, it is constant commercials pushing his narrative. Anymore, if you're on online, it's a constant pop-up. Boom, 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 you know. Okay. The Word says in John 10:10 that he has only one plan for man, kill, steal, destroy. No biggie there. Every area in this earth where he has dominion, you know where it leads. How do we combat this? John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's what the Word of God will do. It renews the mind from the world system that you've been born into and you've lived in. And that's what it does. Begins to renew your mind. As we were talking about, pray that the pastors will hear God's voice. They're seeking God to hear his voice. Pray for them to hear God's voice. And we were talking about the fact that the biggest thing the Lord's really put on me is concerning the healthcare industry. And how so many people are so hooked in, hook, line, and sinker, into the medical system, especially the church. And so them hearing the truth about the gospel, that God has another narrative in mind as far as healthcare. God has another way for his children. It's just like we're coming out of Egypt. That was the mission call. Set my people free from the strongholds of their minds. The world system, Egypt, had them in bondage. Pharaoh was like the devil. But here came Moses. The Lord sent him in to take them out. And what did they experience in that journey? Clothes didn't wear out. Feet didn't swell. They weren't sick. They weren't weak. They weren't feeble. They were laden with silver and gold. So much so, they made that stupid, dumb calf. This is the kingdom of God. God did all kinds of things. He said, 10 times they tested me in the wilderness. They saw the 10 plagues in Egypt. They saw their safety in the land of Goshen. The world was being punished for all those things, but here comes the Lord and protects Israel. Darkness in Egypt, but light in Goshen. He's been showing himself throughout the whole, from beginning to end. I'm a faith God, and this is how I walk. This is the kingdom of God. Fed them supernaturally. He placed them in a place to where they could be carefree and never have to be thinking about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Well, the clothes didn't wear out. Moses hit the rock and the water came out. The rock that followed him was Jesus. So clothes, food, water, the necessities of life were supernaturally provided for them. Yet, they couldn't. They'd been in the system too long. Now their little ones went in. Okay, saturated with God's word. Why? Let's look at Mark 4. We have to be saturated with God's word. When we know this word, it will make us free. Really 23. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. That's what we've been talking about, these pastors, that they'd hear. They'll hear God. They'll be able to look past whatever package it comes in. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure you give, well, I'll just read the brackets too. And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even that what he has will be taken away by force. So the man that knows the word, the kingdom's open to him. Because he's talking about in 26, and he said the kingdom of God is like a man. Well, he's full of seed. You see that? He's full of seed. But the one who doesn't comprehend or understand, it says, even what he has will be taken away from him by force. The devil will steal it. Parable of the sword, said the sower sows the word and the devil comes at once, you know, steal the word. All right, Psalms 119, 105 says, his word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Satan has a plan, and that plan, just like he deceived Eve to convince you that what God said is not true. Genesis 3:1 says, hath God said? Well, everybody else is doing it this way. How does he do it? Symptoms. A slight indication, like a thought. I wrote here Matthew 6:31. I'll look at that, make sure I'm saying what it says. It's about seeking the first, the kingdom. Well, it says here, therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? And that just what I talked about in the wilderness. God met those three things. All right. Don't take a thought saying. Symptoms come to convince you that you are not well. The system is geared so when you go to the doctor, we were also talking about this. Okay, what are your symptoms? I've been to medical school and I got a big fat book back there and it says, okay, symptoms, treatment. Am I right? All right, 1 Peter 2:24, what does it say? By his stripes, you were healed. Or so Peter said. Jesus took all our infirmities and diseases, Isaiah 53, Matthew 8, 17. Gone. If he took it, it's gone. So what's coming at me? Lies. The father of lies is bringing lies. Isn't that amazing? He can't do anything else. He has one narrative. That's it. All right, the truth is you're well, and that's all you're going to be. All you're ever going to be, whether you choose to die and believe the lie, then die. Well is all you're ever going to be. That's all you can ever be is a born-again child of God. When God looks down and sees people in their mess, all he can say is, well. If they won't take it, they won't accept it, what else can he do? He gave his son. All right. This is a Brother Hagin story, and if I don't get it right, then forgive me. Talked about two women that were diagnosed with cancer, liver cancer, I think it was, and so prayed for both of them. One woman, she went on and believed and enjoyed her life. The other woman died, and they did an autopsy on her and found no trace of liver cancer. What did she believe? A lie. Yeah. What was the difference between the two women and what they believed? That's all. It's like the man freezing to death in a refrigerator car that was unplugged and it was 60 or 70 degrees in there. He thought, I'm going to freeze to death in here. And because what he thought, that's what he believed. And so faith was conceived and he died. He froze to death 60 or 70 degrees. One believed she was redeemed from the curse. One believed she was sick and cursed. Each one got what they believed for. It has to do exactly with what you hear. You exercise faith towards what you hear. And if all you hear is the world system and all the commercials and things, you will be at the doctor 24/7. You'll sit in doctor's office for the rest of your life, trying to do everything and take everything that you're supposed to keep you safe. And most of the time, and sometimes, it's actually just the opposite effect. It's got stuff in it that's trying to kill you. And we'll work that way. Unless you're a believer and you say, well, you know, if I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. See, the devil knows how he has to do it. The world system may be ignorant to it, but the devil knows the only way he can get to us is to steal the word from us, because he can't do anything without our permission with our words. He can't say light being light was. He can't create anything. That was the problem. He was trying to be God, and God kicked him out. So what is he trying to do now? He said, well, I'll show you. I'll just have an assault on your creation, and they, I'll steal their words, and I'll get my stuff done, and I'll kill them, and I'll do what I want to by what they believe. Convince them that what your word says isn't so. Isn't that what he started doing in the very beginning with Eve? Trying to get him to question God, cheated him out of their inheritance. He's not doing anything different today. Paul said the same thing. When I leave, I am afraid that just as Satan seduced Eve, deceived her, he'll do the same thing to you too. Okay, it has to do with what you hear. You choose. Deuteronomy 30, this is a good scripture. Lord just gives you a choice here. God does not bring evil. He does not do evil. He does not tempt man. He doesn't cause bad things to happen. But he allows you to choose which master you'll serve. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, the blessings. This is what I want for you. This is my will for you, blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live, and may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I want the best for you. He gave the best for us. I want it for you so bad, but I can only lay the food on the table and just hope that you would choose. Okay. Our airways have been filled with Satan's narrative. If we hear these things, we must not let fear come, and we must resist it. Usually if one slips in and I hear it or something, I'll say something. I'll say like something opposite. Okay, through much practice, Paul learned to perfect this. In Acts 28, whenever the serpent came out and attached itself on the hand, he got to where he just shook it off. He knew about the system. Paul is not the exception, but our example to follow. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. The things that came against Paul. At first, he was, Lord, you got to help me. But he learned to walk. He learned to resist the devil and the false narrative of the world system. And hear God and believe God and hear his voice and speak. And that's what the Lord's doing in our lives. From childhood, the Antichrist system has controlled the narrative. It leaves people fearful and dependent, like sheep. They call them sheeple. Sheep being led to the slaughter. The kingdom of God narrative leads to faith and freedom. God's best, Romans 5:17. Reign in life as kings. Once you have it settled, no more wavering. Choose your master. Matthew 6:24 says, you can't serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is whatever is trusted in other than God. Whatever it is. Once Satan is exposed for the fraud he is, he will flee. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. All right, let's look at Matthew 7 here. This is a, to me, this is a man, one man resisted and one man didn't. Matthew 7, 24. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, isn't this submitting to God, resisting the devil, acting on the word? Okay. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a sensible man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. Now I want to say something here to you. From what I see in the scriptures and what the Lord has indicated to me, you are in no harm. The only reason you might think you might be is because you've been told by the false narrative that if you feel these things, and this is what's going on with you. It's so to take you out. You understand what I mean? If he can get you to believe it. People are in and out of, you know, it's. I thought, Lord, if I could just get people just this one. Talk about being rich. Not having to pay for health care. Not have to. This is a message they don't want to hear for sure. No doctors. No hospitals. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. So whatever lie came, they said, nope, I'm redeemed from the curse. I believe the word of the Lord. By stripes I'm healed and made whole. And the rain beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. But the one who believed the lie, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. These two instances are based on what these people believed, just like the two women. No reaction, no harm. They made it safely through the storm. Let me say that again. That's pretty good. No reaction, no harm. They made it safely through the storm. Remember, Satan is a flim-flam, deceiver and a fraud. He's a trickster. He's here to trick you out of, the Lord says you're already healed. Or you're already supplied. Whatever you're standing in faith for, he's there to terrorize you out of it. He's the thief. Okay. We are headed in the right direction, and Satan is losing his edge over us because we are redeemed and we're beginning to realize it and we know it. All diseases and sicknesses are made up narratives with its accompanying symptoms. Just go look online and look up anything, and you'll just see page after page after page of symptoms and treatments and all kinds, whether it be medical or natural or a mission possible if you decide to accept it, to live free. Is it any wonder that healthcare is at the forefront as far as concern of every person in this earth? Socialized medicines equals complete control. The sicker people get, the more control the government has over the people. So they can say, okay, this is what socialism is. It comes in and says, okay, everybody's going to make the same amount of money. Everybody's going to live in the same little four rooms, four walls. We'll assign to you what you can do and you can't do. Isn't that what it was in Egypt? They were slaves. They were on the plantation. Okay. Satan's angle is control. He's wanted it back ever since he lost it and was kicked out of heaven. He's a nutcase. And he's been trying to gain control over God's people from the very beginning. We walk by faith and not by sight. You can't believe the senses. You can believe God's word, though. Satan interjects thoughts that get your senses involved. What's the counter? Casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, leading that thought before the thought leads you. Casting it down, it says. So it all starts right here. Even though you might perceive it in your five senses, there it is. Okay, that's where it starts. So that's how we counter. The forerunner of Jesus, John, said, change your mind. It must happen for you to enter the kingdom of God. When Jesus came along, these people had never heard about anything like this. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about our first sacrificial service to God is to renew our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not be conformed to the world. And that means the world system. Okay, the kingdom walk bypasses the sense-ruled system. The kingdom of God bypasses the sense-ruled system. And most people, because they've been taught this all your life, think you're the nut and you're the crazy one. So did the children of Israel. That's why only Joshua and Caleb from that generation went in. Because they dared to believe God and dared to believe what God said was true and dared to believe that what God said was theirs. Against all odds. All right, the kingdom is not meat and drink, which it means temporal. It's not temporal. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Temporal here, I wrote out of the dictionary, means worldly as opposed to spiritual. So the kingdom of God is not about temporal things, worldly things. It's about spiritual things. Okay, Romans 14:17, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We are not naturally seated in heavenly places, but eternally or spiritually. We're not naturally seated with Him, but we are spiritually seated with Him. All right, Galatians 5:16. This is the key to walking in the Spirit. Are y'all getting this? Uh-huh. Okay. I'm giving it to you just like the Lord gave it to me. But I say, walk and live in the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. The next scripture talks about they are opposed to God. Your senses, your natural impulses, these are contrary. The truth is that Jesus paid for all sickness. If people can be convinced, it will be a reality. And this is what the Lord personally spoke. He said, you have a big job ahead, but I will open the way and supply the means for you to get the truth out. Okay. I came across a YouTube video title that stated, the deception of diabetes and blood sugar problems. I didn't look at it, but I thought, whoa! It is all a big sham, a big flim-flam. All of it. It's a sham. All of it is for those who believe God's word. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You might be thinking, how did past generations get along without all this vast medical technology? I put here quite well, actually. The more knowledge attained, the sicker people have gotten. how come they believe the narrative. The more widespread through internet, through television, through media sources, everywhere you look, it's just right in your face all the time. Our world has nearly come to the edge of extinction because of it. He's destroyed before, he will again. History repeats itself. You know, when God saw the earth out there without form and void, what had happened? Something happened before Adam was created to put what God created and was perfect and good in that kind of shape. There was another civilization of some kind. It's very obvious that Satan absolutely drove it to extinction. And he tried to do it again in Noah's day. And what happened? The flood. But God said he's not going to use the flood again. Now he's going to use the blood. Not the flood, but the blood is our salvation. Okay? This last day in time revival will bring many in. Snatch them from the fire before the man of perdition arises. Fear equals the curse, faith equals freedom. What narrative will you choose to believe? We have a choice. See, we have a choice today, but whenever we finally get it and we realize it really is all a sham, then what weapon formed against us can prosper? There are none. We'll be like Paul. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Believe what? Believe God's word. Well, the devil doesn't like being exposed, but that's just the way it goes. We've got to expose him. And I pray that there are people in this city and in the Permian Basin that when they hear this type of word, they won't run away or say, we don't want you back. They'll say, that's the word of the Lord. I got a witness in my heart. Because all of this that's going on, it's like it's such a burden on the backs of men that it's to the place that our world can't cope with it anymore. This reprieve, this is our chance to bring the truth and the light and to take the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Health care. Jesus taught and healed. That's a biggie. It's major. It's huge. Taking care of you in your old age. All these things affect people, and it affects their lives. And this is what, you know, the biggest issues of their lives. And when you can bring them the answer to that and they can see it working in their life, this is the message of the kingdom. Salvation, of course, first, always. But this is part of salvation. Soundness, wholeness, preservation, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. This is salvation. And this is what the Lord wants brought forth. He wants us to take the gospel of the kingdom. It says, into all the nations. So wherever we go, whatever part of those nations the Lord sends us, we're just to hear and be available for whatever input he might have us to give. And more than likely, you're going to come into probably something to do with finances or something to do with their health. Seems to be, you know. And God will give us the words. He'll give us the words to say, and he'll give us the answer. This is a year of solving naughty problems. Witty inventions. Okay.